Welcome to today's episode of Inside Bio Podcast. In today's episode, I'll be talking about 10 lessons or 10 important things I learned from a book titled Keys for Living Single by Miles Monroe. And yeah, I learned a lot of things, but I took out 10 most important or 10 main things I think it would be helpful or be beneficial to every other person. So I decided to share these 10 important facts or these 10 important things I learned from the book with all my audience and everyone listening to this podcast. So I hope they go a long way to help you and be beneficial to you. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. So I came across a book by Miles Monroe, and the title was Keys for Living Single, and I thought it wise to share 10 important things I learned from that book. So that's what this whole episode is about, 10 important things I learned from Dr. Miles Monroe's book, Keys for Living Single. And before I commence, I want to say thank you to all my audience, to everybody listening. I really appreciate your time and your efforts, and I hope this podcast has been helpful and has been a blessing to you right from day one. From all our audience across the world, we have audience in more than 6 different countries across the world, and we are hoping to reach and bless more lives. So I'd like to say a big thank you to everyone listening to this episode and who has been listening to this podcast. And please subscribe on the various platforms and also share with your friends as well. So as I said earlier, I'll be sharing on 10 things I learned from the book titled Keys for Single Living. And these are very interesting things I came across, or very interesting facts I learned from this book. And personally, going forward, they've helped me to a very great extent, and I believe they would help every other person who also puts them to practice or takes them. Yeah, so the first lesson I learned from this book says that no human being can meet your ego, soul, or spiritual needs. You might as well settle for all that with God. You are fit already for marriage only when are totally fulfilled in him. I'll take it again. It is that, so the first thing I learned from this book is that no human being can meet your ego or soul or your spiritual needs. You might as well settle for that with God. You are fit already for marriage only when you are totally fulfilled in him. So what, this is the first thing I learned from this book, and what he's saying is that no human being can meet your ego or your soul or your spiritual needs. Mostly we think as we'll need to meet someone or a fellow human being to meet our spiritual needs. And what I learned is that our spiritual needs can only be met in God or in Jesus Christ. So Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him. So I learned that we are only fit already for marriage only when we are totally fulfilled in Christ. So the second thing I learned from this book is that if you do not yet know who you are, then why do you think you'll find yourself with someone else? So basically, first of all, before we set out to find ourselves or to discover ourselves in someone else or to look for someone else, it's very important we get to know who we are so we can get the right person to meet us. As unfortunate people do not know who really they themselves are, and they expect to know someone else. So the second thing I learned is actually very, very important. It is that if you do not yet know who you are, then why do you think you will find yourself with someone else? So we really need to know who we are. We need to set our priorities right. That's one thing where people get wrong. If you do not have your priorities set out right, you would end up getting a lot of things wrong. So one of the things we need to do first before setting out to look for a spouse is that we need to know ourselves well enough. you need to know yourself well enough, else you would have a problem finding the right person you need for yourself. It's like finding an answer to a solution or finding an answer to a problem. Until you understand the problem, you are not going to get the right answer to the problem. So even in school, we're told that in an examination, we're told that understanding the problem or understanding the question is part of the exams. So in order to find the right person for us, we need to know ourselves very well. And that's the second thing I learned. So the third thing I also learned is, when you reach out frantically to others for the wrong motive, you will exploit and use them sexually, financially, or emotionally to meet your own needs without caring about theirs. So what the third thing I learned from this book is that when we search for people with the wrong motives, or when we go out to look for a partner with the wrong motives, we will end up exploiting them sexually, financially, or emotionally, and we might not even consider the other person's emotions or what the other person thinks, because we set out to look for them with the wrong motives. Probably we needed someone to help us with our finances. Probably we needed someone to help us with our sexual desires. We needed someone to help us with our emotional dissatisfaction. And these things are things we should learn to solve on our own. You get it? We are responsible. We should try to be financially independent as possible. We should try to be emotionally independent as possible. And we should try to live sexually independent. We shouldn't have our lives driven by our sexual desires. We should have full control over our sexual desires. So when we go out and look for spouses or partners with the wrong motives, we would end up exploiting them sexually, financially, emotionally. And a lot of people, probably people we know, people we met, or people we've heard about, unfortunately have been a victim of this. They went out, or we went out looking for people with wrong motives, or people came looking after us for wrong motives, and we ended up being exploited by them in one way or the other, whether sexually, financially, or emotionally. So we need to set out and we need to look for the partner, our partners or our spouses, with the right motives in mind. It's very, very important. So that's the third thing I learned from this book. Yeah. We need to look for our partners or our spouses with the right motives in mind. With the right motives in mind, yeah. So it's very, very important. And the fourth thing I learned from this book is that being single is the highest calling in the realm of relationship. In the realm of relationships, because a successful marriage is a product of two successful people. And like a basic math equation, -1 + 1 would give you 0. But then 1 + 1 will definitely give you 2. But then what he's saying is that a successful marriage is a product of two successful people. So we should strive to be successful as individuals, so that when we get into marriage, it would enhance the success of our marriage. Because if two unsuccessful people, two unfulfilled people, I believe success is fulfilling one's purpose. So if two unfulfilled people get into marriage, they would end up finding themselves unhappy. You get it? So the fourth thing I learned is that a successful marriage is a product of two people being successfully single. And it involves being happily single. If you are unhappy being single, I don't think you would equally be happy with someone, because the solution to your happiness probably was not somebody. You get it? So we need to do our best to be successful as singles before we set out to look for someone else. And the fifth thing I learned from this book also is that we need to find out who we are in Christ as a person, and then come to terms with that person. Knowing who you are is the first step towards wholeness, and accepting yourself the second. So before we set out to find someone, to look for a spouse or a partner, the first thing I learned is that we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to have a good identity, a good knowledge of our identity in Christ. It's very, very important, else we would go and would have so many issues. That there are so many stories about people who did not know who they are in Christ, and when they set out, it didn't end up well for them. You get it? So we need to know who we are in Christ first of all, and as a person, we need to know who we are in Christ. And when we have a good knowledge of our identity in Christ, and we come to terms with that person, then we are on track to finding a partner. So knowing who you are is the first step toward wholeness, and accepting yourself is the second. So first of all, we need to know who we are in Christ, and we need to accept ourselves. We need to accept who we are in Christ. So that's the first thing I learned from this book about being single, about keys for single living, is that as a single person, you need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know who you are in Christ. If you do not know who you are in Christ, the devil will end up pulling so many tricks, and you will think you are nobody when you are with somebody. So we really need to know who we are in Christ. The sixth thing I learned from this book is in Matthew chapter 22 verse 39, and Jesus told the people to love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. In other words, you cannot love your spouse if you don't love yourself. A lot of people have so many insecurities about themselves. They do not appreciate themselves. They do not think they are good enough for any person, and they have so many issues with themselves individually. But we need to love ourselves. What the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you do not love yourself, how then are you going to love your neighbor? How then are you going to love your spouse? And I heard of a story of a girl who was so insecure about her physical looks, and about her physical looks mainly. And because of that, when she found herself in a relationship, she thought her spouse was always cheating on her, because personally she thought she was not good enough. Do you get it? But then the moment you begin to love yourself, it boosts confidence, and your confidence levels literally affects everything around you and creates a very positive atmosphere. So first of all, we need to love ourselves. That's what Jesus is saying over here, that to love your neighbor, you need to love yourself. So love your neighbor as yourself, and the way you love yourself is the same way you will transmit love to your neighbor possibly. So we cannot love our spouse if we have not learned to love ourselves. So it's very, very important. And that's the same thing I learned from this book, that love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot love your neighbor if you have no love for yourself. It's very important we learn to love ourselves, and we are completing ourselves. We appreciate and love what God has made us. The Bible says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. He made us beautiful, and we should. Insecurities are evil thoughts and deceptions from the devil to make us not appreciate what God has done for us. So we really need to love ourselves. It's very, very important. And the seventh thing I learned from this book about keys for living single is that if you are afraid to be alone, some people, we shouldn't be afraid to be alone. That's the seventh thing I learned from this, that we shouldn't be afraid to be alone. Some people always want others around them because they do not like themselves, or because they are empty and they want to live through others. So we shouldn't be scared, or we shouldn't be afraid of living alone. One thing I learned during this season of the pandemic, or when we were on lockdown, was that most people found it difficult to live alone. And I was a victim myself, because there was no one around and I basically was the only one. We had to learn to spend time with ourselves. And one thing most people have not learned to spend time with themselves or to live alone. So it's rooted in the fact that human beings are social beings. That's true, so we need people around us. But then it's also equally important we need to learn to be alone. It's equally important we learn to be alone, and we have to do that, because if our happiness, our livelihood is always dependent on people being around, we would always have problems, they would always get discouraged and disappointed. So we shouldn't be afraid to be alone, and it's good to have people around us, it's very important, but it's also important that we learn to be complete in ourselves. We learn to be happy on our own. We learn to be self-dependent. We learn to be independent and not totally dependent on others. There's a place in life where we are dependent. We are supposed to be independent, and there's a place in life where we are supposed to be dependent on others. It shouldn't always be total dependence on people. So people always want others to be around them because they don't like themselves or because they are so empty. You get it? So during the lockdown is one thing I really discovered about myself, that I'm not very good with being alone. So as individuals, we need to really learn to spend time with ourselves and to be independent. Well, if we learn to live independently, it would help us relate well with others, especially with our spouses. It's very, very needful that we learn to be alone, or we learn to be satisfied being alone. Then the eighth thing I learned from this book is that unmarried Christians should be so consumed by God and His will, and so preoccupied and committed to finding out who they are in Him, that they are not distracted by a search for another person. And this is also very interesting. It's something probably I found myself doing one point in time, and I'm sure some of our audience or someone listening to this podcast has also found himself in that situation. We get so distracted searching for a spouse or searching for other people, and we forget about the will of God for our lives. So anytime we shouldn't get distracted from God's purpose and God's will for our life because we are searching for a spouse. It should be in line with the will of God. If searching for a spouse distracts you or takes you away from the will of God, then there's a problem with that action. There's a problem with your search. There's a problem with your search. So unmarried Christians should always be consumed by God and His will, and so preoccupied and committed to finding who they are in Him, and also discovering their purpose in Christ. So we need to be consumed with God. We need to be consumed with the love of God and with the zeal of God and His will. And we shouldn't allow a search for a spouse distract us or take us away from the will of God. Because as human beings or as children of God, the most important thing in our lives are the purpose of God for our lives, God's will in our lives. And His will is very, very important. And if you find yourself outside His will, then the purpose of your existence is very bad. There's no essence of your existence or of your living. So we should try not to be distracted from God's will in our search for a spouse. It should rather be in line with His will for our lives. And the ninth important thing I learned from this book is that if you are considering marriage, you should be willing to share your time, privacy, material goods, secrets, ambition, dreams, goals, visions, and desires with the other person. The Bible makes it clear that the two shall become one flesh. So anytime we are considering marriage, we should be ready and willing to share our time, our privacy, our marital goods, our secrets, our ambitions. And I learned that we shouldn't get into marriage specifically with a sense of privacy, because at that point the two of you have become one. So it's very incorrect to have a private life in your own self. Like, you can't hide anything from yourself because you know everything yourself, because you are one. But then what I learned is that if you are considering marriage, you should be willing to share your time, your privacy, your material goods and secrets and ambitions and dreams and goals with someone else. It's a risk they are taking. I don't think it's a risk, but it's something we should be willing to do anytime we are willing to get married. And the last thing I learned from this book is that men, as men, before we go about chasing women, or before a man goes about chasing a man, he should make sure, we men should make sure, she's someone we can chase unto death do us part. We shouldn't chase women for temporal purposes. And people will be like, so how do I know that this will work out? Because mostly people go into relationships to see if it would work out. But then if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and we are yielded to his direction and to his guidance, I'm not sure we would end up making mistakes. But then, yeah, if it's not working out, probably I think it's cool to walk away. But then if you are in search for a woman, or you are in search for a spouse, you should make sure she's someone you would chase to death do you part. It shouldn't be something you are just figuring out or something you are just trying out. Life is not a scientific experiment. We should live life with purpose in mind. So these are the 10 important things I learned from the book about keys for single livinghood, or for living single, if I should say. So yeah, they've helped me to a great extent, and I hope they will help you as well. I want to say thank you for listening to today's episode, and thank you very much once again. Share with your friends and subscribe, and stay tuned for other inspiring and blessing episodes. Thank you very much. God bless you all.